During the next 15 minutes, you will hear a remarkable transcribed documentary broadcast recorded by Marine Combat Correspondent, Technical Sergeant Fred Welker of Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and Engineer Technical Sergeant Keene Hepburn of Washington, D.C. The recording was made right after the Marines swarmed ashore on one of the Marshall Island atolls. This recording is remarkable not because the microphone has captured the furious sound of battle, but because it portrays, as no dramatic production could, the change that comes over man after 24 hours of battle. We have titled this broadcast, A Night in a Foxhole, and we are indebted to the Public Relations Office of the Marine Corps for making the recorded material available. It has been said by some observers that war does not perceptibly change a man. Others say it does. I think it does, and I say that because I saw boys change into men at Salerno in Italy. They went ashore and into battle as young, high-spirited boys. They came out much older, although they might not admit it. Before battle, their faces reflected a normal innocence. After battle, lines creased through their cheeks from their eyes to their jawbones. Psychological and physical reactions do a lot to man or boy. We believe you will feel the change made in Technical Sergeant Fred Welker of the Marines when you listen to his recording made in the Marshals. When Walker first begins to speak, it is shortly after he has scrambled ashore with the assault troop. As the Jap bullets and mortar shells whine and explode about him, he speaks into a microphone with a sort of carefree innocence, a typical young American experiencing real war for the first time. In his opening remarks, Sergeant Welker states that he is scared, but the fact is not apparent in his voice. The nervous tension, the excitement, his physical condition keep him emotionally in balance. Listen.
Those, my friends, are bullets.
Just landed here about 15 minutes ago, and I don't know whether I sound scared or not, but I am. I don't know whether you hear any rifles popping or not, but there's rifles and just everything in the book is going off around this joint. Namur Island, down in the Kwajalein, and boy, this is really a hot place. After the naval bombardment and the aerial bombardment and all the bombardments together, we probably won't be able to walk in here without, finding such a hot reception. However, with the trees just about popped, that is, all the coconut palms are all, had their tops all blown off of them. Well, we still have Japs. And I mean there's plenty of Japs. Into this hole, we're stuck into a hole, a crater, made by a 14-inch shell. Yeah, there's a Japanese helmet the guy just pulled out of where he was going to sit down. And, brother, his hip flattened out. John looks the place over and sees if the boys need any help on this end. Now, stick around, bud. We may call you back later. It's not hard to figure out that these men, 150,000, that is 150,000 Japs on this island before they came in, that is, they didn't answer them now. However, they bombarded the thing just as though there were 150,000 in here, covering as near as possible every foot, every square inch of these islands. And that's why there have been so few casualties.
At this point, Sergeant Welker and his comrade, Sergeant Hepburn, come under extremely heavy fire, and the recording is distorted. As we pick them up again a few minutes later, Welker has been describing the advance of a wave of Marines all around him. And then...
Who? A chicken?
Where? Well, I'll be doggone. This island, you wouldn't believe that a thing could be living on it. And here is a chicken. Just came over the hill. Right down in our cell hole, very nonchalantly pecking and scratching around in the sand. Not singed a bit. I don't know how that ever happened. That is good, isn't it, huh? That's very good. And all, of course, all the troops who were stealing very, very cautiously forward are all getting a big laugh out of it now. I mean, they're all pointing at it and getting a big bang out of it. All the men.
A chicken would seem out of place, dwarfed and insignificant in such surroundings, but to the sergeants and the others, it had a meaning of some kind. At this point, Welker and the others advanced again. We next hear from him several hours later. In the interim, the battle has raged all about. Here is Sergeant Welker again. Once more, the Marine sergeants advance. They have been in the fighting for several hours now, and when we next hear from Welker, his voice indicates the strain.
Well, we're just a little further now. And here, I believe, just a little plainer. Getting a rapid exchange over there with our boys putting out a little more than they're taking. In fact, they're putting out a lot more than they're taking.
Somewhat out of breath on his way to the command post, now meets Welker. The recording is indistinct, but if you listen carefully, you will hear him identify himself as Private James J. Murphy of Duncan Avenue, Jersey City.
What are you back for now? Hey, Butch. About 125 yards up. And how far the boys from here?
About 200, something like that. How are they doing? Huh? Well, so far, they're pretty good. They can't shoot them, though.
They can't shoot them, huh? What are they behind? Are they using trees? Concrete abutments, huh?
They dug down the holes.
Oh, they dug down the holes, huh? Well, are they using bazookas up there to knock them out?
So far, they're coming to start up there.
Yeah, I'll bet. Oh, boy, so there are many of them getting clipped, many casualties?
Well, I didn't see many.
You didn't see many? How about those Japs? Got a few on the other
side? Oh, they're close
to it. Got them. That's good stuff. What's your name?
J.J. Murphy.
Murphy?
Yeah.
Not Irish, are you?
That's it.
Where are you from?
Jersey City.
Jersey City?
That's right.
Murphy from Jersey City. Where in Jersey City?
In Duncan area, 312 Jersey City.
312, huh? Duncan Avenue, Jersey City.
That's
right. Well, you look pretty well spent. Don't you get some background information?
I come back to see if I get my CP. Go up and get my other man and find where they are.
What's your race?
Private.
Private?
That's right.
You're communications personnel, huh?
No, 50 caliber.
Oh, 50 caliber?
That's right.
Oh, you're coming back to the command post.
That's right.
What, the battalion command post?
That's right, the caliber.
This is it right here. Did you know it?
Night descended on the atoll, but it wasn't really dark. The sky was crisscrossed with bright tracer bullets. Explosions flashed about the men as they crouched in their foxholes. It poured rain. The Marines must have been miserable. The nervous tension increased. There was sleep for no man. In the morning, Sergeant Welker's voice is heard again.
Guns have been going like this all morning. In fact, they went on all night. My teeth are chattering so bad I can hardly talk. It's awfully cold. That is, it's cold because it rained all night. We've been sitting in it. We got very little, if any, sleep. Orders were given that we all dig in our foxholes close together. Well, there goes tracer fire right over us now. The boys are all pretty, pretty cold. Damp through.
This has really been something. These Japs have been in. Tied themselves to what's left of these trees. They're only a few trees, but I think they've shot a Jap out of every one of them. And then the concrete pillboxes that they had around here were really something in thickness. These things were built for eternity by the looks of things. But they weren't built with the idea of taking 14, 16-inch shells and 2,000-pound bombs. That's what they got. There's a little duel going on between machine guns now.
The 5th Amphibious Corps did clean up the island that day, and there was rest for all. But Sergeant Welker and Sergeant Hepburn, like the others, had changed. They no longer were the carefree young men they had been 24 hours before. WOR's War Services and News Division has presented this transcribed broadcast in cooperation with the United States Marine Corps, whose combat correspondents made these recordings during the invasion of the Marshall Islands. WOR will present other documentary broadcasts of this type as soon as the material is available. Dave Driscoll speaking.